It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie P. We are fired up, man. Today, we're talking everything outside the car that means more than the car. And for car guys, that's rough to say. You can't hardly find anything that means more than their cars. But the place you keep it, the ability to be able to work on it, the capacity for storage, oh my God, that's a game changer.
Well, the getaway spot. Where you go to find your soul, man. I mean, I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you, man. You're in the same boat I am. You know, my garage is where I go to find myself, man. Like, the projects you work on, just clearing your head, the creativity, you know, that's where your car rolls out of. That's where your projects roll out of. You know, stuff that you've welded, built. You know, maybe you're into woodworking. Whatever it is, man, that's your shop. That's your space. And man, it means everything to me. That's what brings me my sanity, you know?
Yeah, man. It's, to say it's therapeutic is an understatement. Oh. It's one of those things that literally, man, it's you know, everybody has their calming area, right? The peace of mind and just being in that atmosphere gives you like a certain zen or tranquility that you don't find other places. It could be the surroundings, the smell, the business that's going on, or the fact that, you know, you can create. And for a guy, for, you know, even females that love being out in the shop, that's something special. You know, that's something that you realize you're about to either build or conquer, or, you know, tackle new ground, even if it's working on the same old ride. You know, it is definitely your place, like none other.
Yeah, when I moved up here to Detroit, you know, she's been 20 years now. You know, we got these long winters, and I'm all about being outside. So if I can, I'm going to be, you know, on some ice skates or, you know, snowboarding or whatever it is. But, you know, there's a long winter with a lot of cold days that are just miserable. You can't do anything. And that is truly my sanity. And I look forward to it because summers are wonderful up here. They're short and you're just go, go, go. And I don't get the shop time. And I'm enjoying my outdoors, man. I'm not complaining. But as the summer's winding down and you're kind of getting bummed out that the good weather is going to start disappearing, I start thinking, oh, but you know what? Shop time is coming, man. And a good heater and a good shop, man, can get you through a long winter real nice. I'll tell you.
Yeah, man. Plus, it keeps you out of trouble with the wife or gets you in trouble. Yeah, just really both. Depending on how much time.
Yep, a little bit of
but
both.
Yeah, it's it's a package deal.
Yep.
Well, look, the guy that we have on today helps people with those resources, helps people find their dream spot. For me, man, it was really evident as I was about to, you know, embark on a big journey. I was about to grab 10 acres way outside Denver, Colorado, and I was going to, you know, live in a couple like RV type scenarios and just me and some friends build a house and go for it that way. And then just on a random, I decided to take a drive right around the subdivision that was close to the 10 acres, you know, that I was going to buy. And I came over the hill and saw this massive shop. And I'm like, my God, what a garage. And literally, I'm sitting in the garage right now. You can hear it. Echo. I mean, it's a big room, dude. I got carpet in here. I got 13 cars packed into this section of it. So, yeah, it's a big area in the spot I'm in right now, let alone it's got several other rooms and lifts and things you could do. And for a guy like, you know, you and I and most people that listen to this podcast, that is heaven on earth. So I rolled down the driveway, and the guy was working on the house. I couldn't believe I saw a for sale sign. I'm like, hey, man, if you pack up today, just walk out and leave, can I entertain a price for you? And he was like, absolutely. I'm tired of working on it anyway. So I gave him a walkaway price, and we said, that's a deal. We shook hands, and a couple weeks later, I was moving in, man. I had this shop loaded down with stuff before I had a single thing in the house.
Well, that's like you should.
It's funny, yeah, man. It's and most people are looking for that, you know. Most people are looking for what is it that's going to give me my peace of mind. I feel like a lot of times you could make and manipulate the house however you want, but if you got a big shop out there just waiting for your own spin on it and what you can build in it, oh man, that's a bonus like none other.
Yeah, so, well, you found a dream for sure, man. I mean, I think anybody in the planet will be envious of your setup because that is just. That is the Garage Mahal of Garage Mahals. That thing is huge and massive, man. You scored big time. And, you know, the closer you are to town, like bigger city, the harder it is to find, you know, your garage space. And that's why you need guys like Brian McNamara at Gearhead Homes, because they can help sort through all these listings and try to find you either the industrial space you're looking for or the house with the big garage, the pole barn, you name it, because that's what we're looking for, man. And it is a diamond in the rough. I know I found my first house when I moved up here. I was one of the only, because I was, you know, near the big city of Detroit, one of the only three-car garages around. And that's not huge, but at least, you know, I got the biggest I could get. And I know when I shot for my second home, it was the same dilemma, right? How do you look through 1,000 listings and find what you want? You need a guy to help you out. And we're going to talk to that guy, man.
And, you know, this guy was marketing this place like a horse property. It's like, you know, and I'm like, wait, a horse property? Who's going to bust up concrete and put stalls in here, you dumb? You should have marketed it Mechanic's Dream, but I'm glad you didn't. So anyway, there's a key to it. And we're going to find out all the ins and outs in just a second. So give us a couple minutes. We'll knock out a break. Come back with Brian McNamara. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He's the handsome Kevin Bird, and I'm Willie B. Back after the break. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we are fired up. Brian McNamara joins us today, and we're talking Gearhead Homes. This is so critical. This is so important because nowadays, with all the remote, you know, being able to work remotely and everybody doing it, right? It really doesn't matter where you live as long as you got internet, and who doesn't have that? So really, there's all kinds of ways that you could branch out and find your dream. You know, a lot of people call it your future home, your forever home, your dream home, whatever you want to stamp it, man. This is the spot where you feel like no other place on earth, man. And it is fantastic to be able to have one. Kevin, you know this because you've done something unique. You bought several properties to make room for your. He's the only guy I know that buys houses just so he could, you know, steal the garage space. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, you know, as you know, I got on a lake here in the downturn, you know, in like 2012. But my lot is so skinny, dude. Literally, my lot is 33 feet wide. So I got a long, skinny house and a long, deep garage that I added onto. But, you know, that's my workspace. That's my go-to space. Now, I got to put all the other stuff somewhere else so I can keep that shop space, you know, just the tools, just the cars, just the welders. So, yeah, I've bought at least one or two properties just for the garage so I can keep the toys and other things in there and rent out the house. So,
Hey, you know, Brian, when people look, you know, for these properties, it really is amazing. You know, I stumbled upon a real treasure here, but, you know, I'm fairly close to the city. It's one of those things where I feel like finding a property that's solid for cars and for shops and for a guy with a decent inventory of hot rods, man, that gets so tough and difficult to kind of navigate all the, you know, all the spots that may have an outbuilding, but not necessarily a garage. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it was until we came along. So
exactly.
Well, tell us a little bit about, like, you know, what you got going on over there, Brian. Make everybody envious.
That's how I even started the company, is because I was trying to find a house with a big garage, and everybody I talked to, their eyes would glaze over when I talk about a garage. I kept being shown like kitchens with nice countertops and stainless steel appliances. I wanted to see the garage first. It's all about the garage. The house is secondary. So now I find people a garage with an attached house.
Amen.
So you need the bedrooms for the toys too. So, we've been in business for 9 years or so, and, you know, growing ever since, but you know, it's all about the garage. I mean, even my own house too, I finally have kind of the shop of my dreams. Just 2 years ago, actually, I was called on a listing appointment. Somebody called me to list their house for sale. And as soon as I walked into the backyard, I gave them an offer the next day because the outbuildings. So
this is funny because Brian goes, "Hey man, I got a house with some garages that you might be interested in." I'm like, I looked it up on the line. I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I think I might, man. Can I go take a look?" He's like, "No, I'm going to buy it." But, man, I knew he's been looking. I was like, "Bro, you snag it." If you don't, let me know.
Go get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still called you for other ones. So.
It's an anomaly, man. It's something like I know when I bought this house, my friends were, I have a very communal shop, man. I do a program called Cars for Christmas. We give cars to needy families. So, a part of this shop is really dedicated towards that year round. I got that's one lift room. I've got another lift room that's just dedicated to my stuff. And then a parts room kind of that separates everything. So it's it really is when you find something that really can handle what your future plan is and what your dream is and, doing the things that you love to do, man, it's like you so enjoy coming home. It's that meme where you used to sneak out of your home to go to parties and now you sneak out of parties to go home. It's like that.
Yeah. And like you said, it's not a forever home. It's a forever garage. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah,
exactly. With the home, exactly. That's kind of a test. Yeah. Some place to sleep in between shop time.
Right.
And the greatest thing is I get to connect people with that Zen space. Like you guys were talking earlier, it's your getaway. It's your place to go to get away from the hustle and bustle of the day and chill and work on your own projects and whatnot. So that's huge. That's why I'm so passionate about what I do. Because my favorite space is the garage also. Being able to help people find that and find the same thing that we all have, Willie's garage though, that's like trying to find the, the upper echelon of garage space.
That's like finding a retired NASCAR chief, that.
Yeah.
He's just letting it all go. And so, yeah. Diamond in the
rough. Right. Yeah. I did score lucky. It's funny. Cause I never thought I'd fill this building up. I ended up building another building on top of the hill that holds, I've got, I think, 13 or 14 cars packed into that one. So, yeah, man, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's it. You always fill what you have. So that's the one thing to be cautious of. Yeah. Now, speaking of things to be cautious of, Brian, I mean, you've been in this business now for a while, so you've probably seen everything from the goods to the bads. So what are some of the things that you recommend people look for? Because for some guys, it might be their second garage and they're pretty fluent in what they want. But others might be the first time where they're dreaming big and, they're trying to find that first shop, right? What should they be looking for? Because some things you can add on easy, some things not so much. You want the foundation and things there to be able to set it up the way you want at some point, right?
Yeah. And we work with actually a lot of first-time home buyers, first-time garage buyers. And and that's the thing too, is we try to guide them along the way of what to look for and everything else. So we always go and look at the house first, or the garage first, house second. But I always tell everybody, what are the best features to look for? And you kind of want to start with, the structure, the dimensions, and like your utilities, because that's where, a lot of the money goes into. And you want to make sure that's squared away before you put a offer down on something. So, and that it fits your needs, because like the structure, do you want pole construction, metal or wood? Stick built or a block type building, but then also two dimensions are super important because that's your workspace where you're going to store your car. So you want to make sure you got room for everything and also room to grow. So width, depth, height is almost one of the most important ones, because especially if you want to do a lift, I've had, multiple homes in the past that I've gone back and forth. Just the homes I've had good garages, big garages, but never had the ceiling height to really get a good two-post lift in there. And now the house we bought 2 years ago has 13 and a half foot ceiling. So I've got a tall XL lift where I'm 6'3", so I can walk directly underneath the vehicles without ducking or anything like that.
It's Brian, awesome. That's got to be one of the most common mistakes, because both of the lifts I have in my individual rooms have been gifted to me because they ordered too tall of a lift for their garage. And they were like, Willie, I literally stored both of them out here for a long time. And finally, I was making phone calls. And I was like, buddy, what do you want me to do with this lift? What are you ever going to do with it? I'm tired of moving it around. And he's like, man, just keep it for your shop. And not a year later, same thing happened with another buddy who bought a house. He jumped online. He bought a lift. And his lift is too tall for his shop. So I got both of them for free. Because they were too tall for the home garages.
That's why we measure those ceiling heights, man. Those ceiling heights are important.
Well, see, that's why, a guy like Brian, he's going to be looking out for you in those regards, right? Because you might look at the square footage and go, oh, this is fantastic. Or maybe I've got 220 already. And then look right up and go, hey, you want to lift or not? You know? I think height's probably one of the toughest things to find, at least in the city area.
Yeah. Well, a lot of cities too, they have caps on ceiling height or wall height and whatever too. So there are certain areas where you can't go with a tall ceiling. And if you do find something in those areas where they have a limit on taller ceilings and you find something with a tall ceiling, that's where you snatch those up right away. Cause you know, that's some amazing real estate when you can go up like that, cause you can store more, you can work on cars better. But if you are limited, there are a lot of solutions out there for the shorter lifts and everything else. So, you know, so there's, you know, but that's one of the important things to watch out for when you're shopping for a garage.
And, you know, you're looking for, like, typically you're looking for, like, you know, 13 foot will get you a 12 something lift, right? Cause a lot of lifts are kind of that 12 foot plus kind of thing, right? Yeah. Sometimes you can get them to fit between the rafters. So that can buy you a couple inches. And then like in my shop, I'm just over 10 feet. And I'm able to actually use a lift with a 10 foot ceiling. So that's probably the limit, 10 foot and change. So I don't have the crossbar over the top. My cable runs down on the floor. So I got a little thing I got to hump over. So it's kind of a pain there. I got to, you know, if you don't have a running car, you got to push it up and over the hump, but I can get a car essentially just about full height. So just for anybody out there, right, if you find, you know, the location and everything else, you can go as low as a 10 foot and change with that type of lift. And that's a heavy duty lift. It'll do anything from trucks and whatnot. But I might have to just scrunch a little bit being 6'2". But yeah, if you can get a, you know, 13 foot ceiling or a 12 and think about where you're going to position that thing, you can get away with.
You hit the magic number there, though. The magic number is like 13 feet because I'm 13'4" in my shop. And I could do the XL lift, which what's nice is I still have the crossbar on the top. And I wanted one of those, too, because I had a buddy that had one without or didn't have one. He actually hit the ceiling with his car and crushed the top. Mm-hmm. So I got the one with the bar across the top and it's got the shut off. So if anything hits it, it shuts the lift off.
Yep. And, I have tape marks that I track for different vehicles, and I'm constantly looking straight at the ceiling. So, but you mentioned utilities too, man, because that could be a big one. Whether you run, you know, up north, I mean, we got to have some kind of heat. So whether it's gas or electric, you know, you can do furnaces of many different types. You know, gas ideally if you're going to be burning a lot of it.
I'm just getting ready to put in an oil heater, and that's going to be a lifesaver. But yeah, right now it's on propane out here, so a lot of variables. But you know, the price of a lot of that stuff is going up, so now would be a good time to consider exactly what's available in that energy number, because wow, it's a big variant now compared to what it used to be just a couple years ago. So maybe something where you could flop in some solar panels. I'm sure, Brian, you could probably locate some options like that, or some easier paid, or at least means to, you know, get that heat in the shop, because, whoo, man, a lot of these prices, natural gas and heat, propane, all that stuff going through the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, one thing too is we take a look at when, you know, we've got certain parameters for a client or whatever, and for the garage, we always look, you know, is there electric hooked up? Is there gas hooked up? And also too, some other very important ones are water and sewer. If you want a bathroom out in your shop, especially if you're 50, 100 feet, 200 feet from the house, you want to make sure that you've got, you know, a bathroom out there if possible. So you want to make sure
it's there. At least a bush next to the shop.
Yeah, door, bush next to the shop. You can do that too.
Poor bush.
But, because, you know, utilities things great to have, so you wash your hands and everything else. But, you know, definitely having water and sewer out there is you know, especially for the bar, you know, the wet bar. So if you're going to have a wet bar, you got to have water going out there. So,
man, this guy's thinking big. You know, I'm like trying to fit my toolbox over in this corner and, you know, my lathe over there, and he's thinking wet bar. Man, I'm behind the times.
Yeah, man. All right, well, look, speaking of being behind the times, we got to take a break. But when we come back, the big pink elephant in the room, bro.
Yeah.
Interest rates. The Feds just met. They raised the rates a half point. First time it's gone up like that in 13 years. We're seeing the highest interest rates we've seen in a long time. They said they're going to meet five more times with what they called aggressive interest hikes each time. Whew, man, that's an ugly forecast for
how to navigate that.
Uh-huh. So
you know, there's a lot of nonsense like lender paid mortgage insurance, stuff like that. But the interest rate is the real killer. So when we come back, how to navigate it, what loans might be best for it. And if you're selling a home and getting into your forever home with that big garage property, capital gains tax, you know, in Colorado, it's like 4.6%. It varies, I believe, from state to state. But what do you do with that investment money? Is that a good time to make the plunge into something with a big chop on it? All those details we'll cover. This is Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we're back after the break. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. Hey, we are fired up. Brian McNamara joins us from Gearhead Homes. Now, if you guys have ever wanted a home, think about the name, Gearhead Homes. Ah, that sounds, just saying that rolls off the end of the tongue. That is perfect. Oh, I got me a Gearhead home. You know what that means? That's happiness. You ever seen a muscle car in a psychiatrist's office? No, because people that own muscle cars are happy. Shut up. Horsepower makes you happy. And Brian is the guy that can give you a home for your horsepower. So, hey, Brian, I got to imagine you made some real collectors out there just stupid happy. Have you seen some amazing collections in your years of finding homes for these crazy cars and this insane addiction?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we come across a lot of really cool. I mean, you heard the term barn finds. I mean, there's been quite a few of those, too, where, you know, we go to this house, somebody's asking us to sell it for them, and we walk out into the barn to check out this, and there's some really nice cars sitting out there covered in dust and everything else. And what's cool is we got some good contacts for that in case that does happen. We can call up some friends that sell and flip those kind of vehicles so we can make some people some money when that happens.
Hey, we haven't gotten any of those calls, man. What's up with that?
What's up, Brian? Here we are taking care of you. I don't know about your back, but mine itches right now. I've been scratching Brian's all this time. Hey, Brian, talk to us about the pink elephant in the room, because interest rates have done something they haven't done in years and years lately. I have a rental property. I refied that back November, December, and I got 2.9%. Right now, you're looking at the fives for a 15-year, and you're up in the sixes if you've got decent credit in the 30-year mix. It's getting ugly out there.
Yeah. Well, here's the bad news is the Fed really wants to raise it even higher. They've been talking anywhere between 9 to 15%. So, that's really going to put a hinder on some things. But yeah, I mean, the Feds are always trying to raise the interest rates. It's just something they're always going to do. And if you remember back before COVID, they started going up a little bit, and that's when they wanted to raise them. But once COVID hit and everything locked down, you know, they're trying to stimulate the economy, so they dropped interest rates, and that also started a huge refinance boom. But you know, now with inflation, they're trying to increase that to help put a cap on the inflation, kind of drive things down. And one way to do that, and this even happened back in the 80s. Interest rates were 15 to 17% back then.
So last time we've seen them like this, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just something that feds do to try to put a handle on certain economic issues or whatnot. So, but yeah, we're definitely in for a run, and they're definitely going to keep trying to raise them. They will keep raising them. And, but there's a good side to that too. And that's the problem with where things were even a couple months ago was just the craziness of multiple offers and people bidding way over or asking and driving the prices of homes up exponentially. And that was putting a lot of buyers even out of the market, where it was, you know, we were afraid to see, you know, the first time home buyer go away. And it's happened in other countries too. So it has started slowing things down. We're seeing less and less multiple offers. It's still a hot market, but we are seeing a little bit of the reins being pulled on that. So, which I think is actually a good thing, because we're on a runaway train.
A lot of that, you know, has to do with where you're at in the country, right? In Colorado, my buddy just sold their house inside Denver, you know, and they sold it $70,000 over the $550 asking price.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold it in 12 hours. Yep. And it was with, you know,
minimal inspection, no appraisal, none of this, no da, da, da. So they really just, you know, got whether what they wanted. I really think right now, when you look at some of the data out there, I was just reading a report that had like Tennessee for the lowest price homes bang for buck wise, and the lack of taxes out there was driving a lot of people to move to states like Tennessee, which you can obviously see. You know, it's great because you're kind of plugged in all over. If you get a guy in Detroit where you're at, you could probably find him a home in Tennessee, for example. Do you see that growth? And it doesn't matter necessarily that they're in a big city. They just want that forever home with that right spot, and they're willing to move because a lot of people are so mobile now.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing with people working from home too, is they are mobile, so they can move into more rural areas and get out kind of in the boonies, I guess you could say. And but what's nice with that though, is that does allot you a better chance of finding something with a bigger, you know, bigger garage, bigger barns, but you can also build, you know, bigger garages, bigger barns too. So, that is a good thing. And we are seeing a huge trend of people moving out to larger properties, looking for, you know, bigger outbuildings, more outbuildings, growing their own food. I don't know, kind of doing off the grid, some off the grid stuff, or just, so, I mean, it's that trend's coming out a little bit too, because you working from home definitely changed a lot of that. So we're definitely seeing some of that change or trend where people are moving out of the cities and into, you know, into the outskirts of those areas and getting bigger properties and more space to roam. So,
I think one of the driving issues that we've got is, right, we're so short on inventory. We haven't been building houses, you know, with the downturn in 08 to 12. We lost a lot of construction crews. They went off and did other things. We haven't really built back that infrastructure. And so we're just short on homes and a lot of people sitting on cash, right? That's driving the demand, driving the prices up. Now, the last article I skimmed, it seemed like the real estate industry, you know, gauging, you know, how the construction industry is kind of trying to gather itself back up and hire more folks. You know, we're slogging through the material shortages, but they seem to think we might be, you know, 2023, 24, maybe well into 24 as a guesstimate of when some of the shortage might start to wane a little bit by building a lot more new homes. Are you seeing anything like that? I mean, do you have any recommendations for folks? Like, you know, if they're not dire to buy, should they just kind of save up a few more coins for the next year or two and let things settle out, and, you know, even the interest rates to see where they kind of go, or what?
That's the tough thing, because for one, I don't have a crystal ball, but if the interest rates continue to rise, if you wait, it could be way more expensive to buy a home. And if prices don't go down, then you're paying even more, and it's going to drop a lot of people, a lot of buyers out of the market. And it could be even up to the upper middle class. So, I don't know. That's the tough thing, is whether people should wait or not. The number one thing is interest rates are going to go up. So that's the best advice to get into the market now. You're probably going to pay less a month for a property, but I don't see prices tanking, but I do see prices more or less plateauing out. So if prices plateau out and they're still at this pretty much all-time high and interest rates keep going up, then you're still going to be paying more for a house. So
yeah. Hey, Brian, I got a question that I see a lot of this happening right now. And I see it not just, you know, in states like Tennessee and some of the outskirts, smaller rural areas of Colorado. It probably is not what you're into when you're selling, but maybe, I'm sure you could locate these for somebody. But what about all the metal outbuildings, right, that people are putting up and just using that as their home and having a shop in the front of it? Like, we've seen a massive surge in those massive steel buildings just getting thrown up, you know, where they allow you. You wouldn't be able to do that in the city. But a lot of the rural areas and, you know, out in the country, they're just sticking up a big metal outbuilding and building a, you know, the facade fake front porch right off that. But their home is like a huge metal building, and they put
put up a few bedrooms, a second story, and then the front of it's a shop.
Yeah, the term for that is barndominium. And
is that what it's called?
Yeah, barndominiums. And we've been doing a lot of work on that side of the thing and becoming kind of the experts in the barndominiums. So
it's huge, isn't it? I see them everywhere.
Yeah. The thing is, there's a lot of people think that there's a lot of money to be saved in it. There is, if you do a lot of your own work, but if you're still hiring a builder and paying contractors to do the work and everything else, you're saving on, up here in Michigan, where people usually do basements for foundations, you're saving because barndominiums are just going to be a concrete slab. They're not going to be a basement foundation. So there's some savings in that. It's also a pole or metal type construction. So there's a little less materials when it comes to that, but you still have to build a structure within a structure. So there's still a lot of wood and materials that go into building the interiors of those out. So they can be a savings, but the cool thing about them is there's no interior load bearing walls. So you can kind of make as open a concept as you want. And you can also make as big of a shop as you want, depending on the township rules of your ratios between your garage and your living space, because that's another thing. And we've actually been researching, especially all throughout Michigan, is where townships will allow barndominiums to be built. So we have a list of townships all across Michigan of where barndominiums can be built. And at first they're all, most of them were saying no, but now it's become more of a popular thing. They're opening their minds to it. So, and it's becoming
tax dollars at work, baby. Tax dollars at work.
Yeah.
So what do you think you could, let's say, save, by doing a barndominium versus the house in the garage? 10, 20, 30%. I mean, what kind of, you know, incentive is there to go that route?
We're seeing more along. Well, it also depends on, like I said, if you're hiring a builder to do it, if you're not, if you're doing it yourself, I mean, you could be saving up to 40%, but if you're still hiring a builder, just the construction type, you might save about 10% or even less. So it all depends on really how you're going to build it. And also too, you can do it, a building like that, you could also do over time. So you could set up a living space in it, in your shop space. And since it's a structure within a structure, you could build that living space out over time and save yourself money if you're doing it as a DIY type project too, and being your own contractor.
Well, see, if I was single, right, it'd be simple, because I'd set up the garage space and then I'd have a cot and a sleeping bag and I'd be set. But, you know, for any of us not single, it gets a lot more complicated than that. So yeah. I imagine there's quite a spectrum on the barndominium designs based on the single guys and the not single
right
folks.
But that's what's nice, is you could do that, and then later on, as time goes, you can build out the other spaces within. So you could start with a cot and then build it out as time progresses.
Go to a master bedroom.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the resale on that? Because there's so many of us that go, dude, that would be me. But right now you're trying to flip and sell, and if you have to move at some point, so you're on a more limited market, I guess.
Yeah. Really comes down to the right lenders and the right appraisers for it. So you have to make sure you get hooked up with the right builders and also real estate agents and lenders that have experience with it, like us. And we even have lenders that specialize in it too. So they can actually lend on the construction of a barndominium and even or buying an existing barndominium too. And
nice.
Yeah, the way we've got that is it's still a higher percentage down loan. It's 20% or more down. But the interest rates are just the same. It can still be a conventional or FHA or whatever. So, so there's ways of doing that. And there's lots of builders that can do the work too. And you can even just get a builder that just specializes in pole type construction and just have them build the barn itself. And then you could even do more of the interior type work on it.
Well, that's huge. You know, if you can do the work yourself, which a lot of us do, you can buy and flip houses if you can live in them while you're flipping them. So that just saves you big time on overhead costs. So yeah, if you can get up the basic structure and, if it's you or your significant other are okay to cordon off a little square of that and do the build over time, then yeah, that I could see that turning out to be quite advantageous, you know, cost wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I see it popping off all the time, and it's getting what seems more and more trendy and more and more popular as we sort of fight through this inventory issue and
some other problems, especially for people that don't mind being out a little ways from the city. So maybe that's an option for you, but you can find all the options with Brian. Hey, I'm gonna ruin your day because you're never going to look at this the same. You guys ready? Before we wrap up the podcast, you ready? I'm going to ruin it. Here you go. You ready? You can't spell homeowner without the word meow in it. All right, I'm just saying, I ruined that word for you, man. Now, every time you see that word, you go see meow, it's gonna wreck you. You're gonna be like, God,
meow had homes.
Meow.
Stuck.
Hey, man. Hey, where do people find you on social or on that their internet thing? How do people find out more about Gearhead Home?
Oh, we got the Facebook things and the Instagram things and all that stuff. So you follow us on social media. We've got a website, but it's kind of just more informative. We're building a new website that's going to have more when it comes to listings and everything else coming up soon. But pretty much just social media is our biggest platform now. And then if you need, we're based in Michigan and handle all of Michigan, but we've also got a network of like-minded agents all across the country. So if you need a house with a big garage in any other states, you can contact us and we can hook you up with the right people.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That is a relief. Gearheadhomes.com. That's the site?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Hey, thanks to our guest, Brian McNamara. Gearhead Homes is the spot. Don't forget about our show, airing weekends on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. It's also available on Motor Trend Plus, which is a streaming format. Easy to get us there. Thanks to our guest, Brian McNamara, our producer, Scoop, executive producer, Bob Ecker. He is Kevin Bird, and I am Willie B, and this is the Two Guys Garage Podcast.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out our website, twoguysgarage.com. Share with us your thoughts on social. We're everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Two Guys Garage. Now, Two Guys Garage Podcast, it's copyright 2022, Brenton Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved.
Perfect, man.
I follow Brian's social, and it's fun to watch, even if you're not going to buy. You just watch some of the postings that he, and you just drool, you know? Like, it's like a cool car. Well, you know, you can drool over a cool garage, a cool shop. Like, and yeah. Some of these things are massive. I mean, you have a massive setup yourself, but some of these are over the top, man.
They're, man.
They're cool to check out for sure. It's good to dream, yeah. Right? It's good to dream.
Always, brother. Always. Hey, the dream is free. The hustle sold separately.
That's right.
All right, we'll see you in the next Two Guys Garage Podcast.
We'll see you guys.
Two Guys Garage Podcast is a production of Brenton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.